Bullet Ringers. Hello and welcome to Scotland Decides. Tonight's debate is divided into different segments, and we start with an audience question from a Mrs. Fearful of Dundee.
If we go independent, what's going to happen to my wee dog? I don't want someone coming round and shooting it now.
Alistair, darling.
Well, I'd like to answer that by shifting around uncomfortably behind my podium like a man with an ill-timed erection who's desperately trying to shake it off.
Alex Salmond.
Well, I'd like to answer that by leaving my podium and walking round to the front of the stage in a way that I hoped would seem spontaneous and informal, but actually comes across as bloody weird.
We move on to the cross-examination round. Mr. Salmond will cross-examine Mr. Darling while Mr. Darling cross-examines Mr. Salmond. And for extra clarity, this section will also feature a man with a pneumatic drill.
Mr. Look, Salmond, we've been over this again and again, and I've said that my clear preference is for a currency union. I can't see any reason why that shouldn't happen, but if it doesn't, there's a variety of options we could pursue, but it won't come to that, because if we win, we'll have to mandate.
Thank you, really most enlightening. Time now for the swimwear round. And here's Alistair, darling. He's opted for a scalloped floral print swimsuit with the halter neck and pleated skirt, while Alex Salmond goes unsurprisingly for the tartan mankini. Plenty to ponder there. We end now with the Jeopardy round, in which Mr. Salmond and Mr. Darling try to deliver their closing statements while standing naked in a pit of man-eating pigs. Mr. Salmond.
This is an historic opportunity for...
Mr. Darling.
The United Kingdom is a great nation with a proud history of...
And so, as the First Minister and former Chancellor are consumed by the ravenous swine, it's over to you. Will it be yes, no, or I don't care either way, just make it end? Goodbye.
Hello, I'm truly delighted to be taking time out of my tennis schedule to do the ice bucket challenge. I'm really very nervous. Let's hope it's not too much of a shock to the system. Have you done it yet?
You're listening to Today with Evan Davis and Jim Naughty.
A campaign opposing the EU banning powerful vacuum cleaners is to be spearheaded by UKIP, as they, of course, also suck big time. Shadow Community Secretary Hilary Benn has claimed that councils in the poorest areas of Britain are having to take the brunt of cuts.
Careful how you say that, Jim. You've got previous. But now, the head of BBC Television, Danny Cohen, said this week that no one is bigger than the BBC, not even Jeremy Clarkson. Well, Mr. Clarkson joins me now. So, Danny Cohen gave you a dressing down, did he?
Probably, but I wasn't really listening. I was too busy lifting him up by his feet and dangling him from a light fitting.
He must have been furious.
He was, until I reminded him that Top Gear pulls in 350 million viewers worldwide. And suddenly he realised that I was only hanging him upside down in an ironic, tongue-in-cheek way. He even suggested I might like to wittily pick him up and throw him out of the window.
Which you then did.
Yes, and as he dropped through the air, he agreed with me that it was just a bit of edgy humour.
Thank you.
You're fired.
Exploding onto your screens, the blockbuster shoot 'em up with more OAPs than a Greggs in Benidorm. It's The Expendables 17, Escape from the Nursing Home.
Hey, yo, man, hey, you know, like, we gotta get out of this nursing home, you know? Arnie's, like, losing his mind. He just, like, keeps asking the same questions, and he keeps saying his age for no reason.
Are you Sarah Connor? Are you Sarah Connor? I am 82, you know.
Stallone. Schwarzenegger, Willis, Ford, Banderas, Gibson, Statham, Pew, Barney McHugh, Cuthbert, Dibble, and Van Damme. All the action and mindless explosions of before, but now with even more layers, because it gets ever so cold on set.
Hey, Stallone, You want to drive this tank any faster? That Fiat behind's pretty pissed and we're hogging the middle lane.
Hey, you know, better safe than sorry. Yo, pass me the humbugs, honey.
I can't. I need to wish my grandson happy birthday. How do you turn this phone on? Oh, God. I've taken a picture of myself. Bloody thing. Oh, no. Now it's calling Linda. Who's Linda?
And this time, there's some new old faces in the gang. Mel Gibson.
Struth. I was just thinking how bloody great it is I've reached an age where my racist outbursts are kind of expected.
Al Pacino. What the hell is a Snuggie? Is it a blanket? Is it a dressing gown? I don't know. The Expendables 17, coming to a cinema near you, just as soon as the gin rummy season finishes.
I am Nigel Farage. No, let me speak. Welcome to my podcast, live from the Blacksmith's Arms. Mine's a bottle of house red, no glass, just strap me to a table and waterboard me with it. I'm discussing the biggest problem facing young British people today, rising GCSE grades. That's right, nobody likes a smart ass. It reminds me of the time this Belgian chap came in here for the pub quiz, all smelling of Moules Marinière and trying to pay in euros. Camp as a sausage dog on roller skates. But I let him on my team because, as you know, I'm an open-minded guy. It all turned sour after question one. What's the world's busiest ferry? He said, Staten Island Ferry. I said, Brian. I don't care. I don't care what Google says. I still stand by my answer. In conclusion, being good at school doesn't feel very British to me. Best leave it to the swats in Hong Kong, South Korea, Singapore, Estonia, and the 20 other odd countries doing better than us. So if your little angels are showing you up with their GCSE results, take them down the good old British boozer and make them drink till they're stupid.
No stories, please.
I'll have a flagon of mead. Tonight I'm going to party like it's 1356.
You're watching ITV, where BBC presenters come to die. Time now for Downton Abbey.
Oh, Robert, you look pained. Boo-boo-be-doo.
I'm just worried there's going to be a repeat of that blasted water bottle incident. Damned embarrassing.
I'm sure it won't happen again.
I hope you're right, Isabel.
Your lordship, I've finished installing the new Sky Plus box.
That'll be all for now, Carson.
Robert, we must talk about Lady Rose. I'm terribly concerned. Her new unsuitable suitor isn't one of the poor people I'm so terribly concerned about. Another unsuitable suitor, you say? Just like that jazz singer. Rose needs to learn that men are like high heels. They're easy to walk on once you get the hang of it. Boom! Everyone a zinger. I'm basically Bill Hicks in a big hat, you know.
Lord Grantham, there's a boorish oaf at the door.
Send the blighter packing immediately, Carson.
Don't you dare send him away.
Explain yourself, Rose.
I met him during one of our interminable ad breaks. There was something about his big, floating head which enchanted me. I've done things with him I've never done with any man, like betting £20 that Newcastle would score first at Stoke on Saturday. I'd like you all to meet my unsuitable suitor, Mr. Winston.
Come on, Lord Poncy Pants, pour us a scotch. And none of the muck you give the help. I like your gaff. Well, nice. I want to ask for her hand.
In marriage?
No, in poker. She's got three kings and a royal flush.
Isn't it torture enough that the wretched adverts rendered Downton all but unwatchable without them encroaching on my family? I wholly forbid this dalliance.
I agree, Robert. It was bad enough when Mary brought home that meerkat. I mean, I'm not averse to romantic entanglement with rodents, but it was obvious from the way he said simples that he was foreign.
Leave my house now.
Remember, you can bet in play now. We're offering odds of 3-1 that Lord Grantham gets his way, and I bog off. And 7-2 that I take Lady Rose up the Arsenal on Saturday. To see the game. Bet now, bet today, bet it all, bet more, lose your house, lose your family, lose the lot, keep betting, never stop, bet forever.
Thank goodness he's gone.
Your lordship, there's a wizened old man on strings at the door. Claims to be a Wonga puppet.
Yes, that's my date. Don't wait up anyone. He says he's able to do things to a woman's body that'll have her in debt for a very long time. Boom!
Hello, press office.
Oh, hello. Is that the Natural History Museum?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's... Oh, good, yes. It's Vince Cable here. You may know, you may not know, but well, you're about to know that a hidden talent, a knowledge that I've got that not a lot of people know about is that I have a great expertise on the subject of flies.
Right.
I just really wanted to offer my services, perhaps if you needed me to give a lecture about flies and my knowledge of them. I'd be very happy to do that.
Okay, what do you... Tell us what you know.
I've always been drawn to the diversity and the great survivability of flies.
Yeah.
And in particular, how they are identifiable due to their sounds. For instance, this is a caddis fly. excuse me, thank you, thank you. This is the caddis fly. It's very good at hovering, and it's got quite big wings. And so that if people heard... they would go, oh, that's a caddis fly. I heard Vince Cable saying that at the Natural History Museum. Contrastingly, a green bottle would be a little bit more...
That's quite a difference.
It does have similarities to Bruce Forsyth in many ways. Which is why one's got to be careful with that. Finally, I'll just leave this with you. The crane fly, what you would get with the crane fly would be much more... like that. what do you reckon, then? What should we call this?
Yeah.
Vince Cable's lectures on flies at the Natural History Museum. I've got it. Pretty fly for a cable guy.
Thank you very much. Welcome to later, Top of the Pops, but a lot less crimey. Now, on this show, we've always showcased unlikely collaborations. Sting with Britney, the White Stripes and Steps, me with a TV camera. But tonight we have the most unlikely collaboration in the history of music. It brings together Winifred Robinson, the host of Radio 4's Misery Fest of Consumer Gripes, that is you and yours, and Morrissey.
Hi, Jules.
Hi, Jules.
Now, Winifred, how amazing was it to discover that the maestro of Misery himself was you and yours' number one fan?
It was the most exciting day since we discovered that some broadband speeds are faster than others. Morrissey's unrelentingly bleak vision of a life bereft of hope was a huge influence on you and yours, especially in our early days when we were just basically crying in the corner of the Woman's Hour studio, feeling fat and lobbing bread rolls at Jenny Murray.
You and yours came to me like a welcome blister at the end of a long day's walk, a dead fly floating in your soup, a bus replacement service for your train journey at Woking.
Great. Well, let's hear some of this very special collaboration as Morrissey sings last Friday's episode of You and Yours.
This is a coastal town where they forgot to close Wonga down. Come in and get them, payday lenders. Let's hear from Mr. Jenkins of Maidstone, settled with a 9,000% loan. Now threatened with losing his home, he'll die alone. Every day should be a bin day. Let's write to the council and say, why not collect the bins every day, please? Unattended rubbish gives rise to disease. But will Guildford Council come on the show? No, no, no. So you just go home and you want to die.
Coming up later on Radio 4. What do you care what's coming up later? We both know it's me you tune in for. Don't be bashful. Come closer. I like what you've done with your hair. Time now for the Archers, where at Blossom Hill Cottage, Helen and Rob are enjoying a quiet night in.
How was your day, darling?
Oh, nightmare from start to finish. The delivery to the dairy was late, we were short-staffed, and I stabbed a tramp on my way home.
Sorry, darling, what?
I said the delivery to the dairy was late, we were short-staffed, and I stubbed my toe on the way home.
Oh, silly me, I thought you said something else. Just my silly imagination playing tricks on me.
It's been doing that a lot, hasn't it? You do trust me, don't you, Helen?
Of course I trust you, Rob. I'm just being silly old worrywart Helen. There's a perfectly good explanation why you didn't tell your mother about me and why you were carrying that body wrapped in a rug to the boot of your car at 2 a.m.
Exactly. Come here and give me a cuddle, you silly thing.
Oh, I feel so safe in your arms, Rob.
Because you are safe. Right, I'm going to get out of these blood-stained clothes. Open a bottle of wine and I thought we could watch a film.
Great.
It's a Hollywood classic, Rebecca.
Oh, I've not heard of that one.
Oh, superb movie. A naive young woman marries the powerful, brooding Maximilian de Winter, a man who hides dark secrets about the death of his first wife.
Gosh, that sounds nice.
Helen, I mean, Mrs. de Winter, is soon driven to the point of madness, her head spinning, unable to tell fact from fantasy, her life unravelling into madness and despair.
Lovely!
You just put your feet up, darling, while I pour this odourless powder into your wine glass. You do trust me, don't you?
Of course I trust you, Rob. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
I'm feeling so sleepy, so terribly, terribly sleepy.
I am Nigel Farage. No, let me speak. Today we're talking about childhood obesity. Here in the Blacksmith's Arms, we feel it's important to look after the health and emotional welfare of the porky little lard asses. As always, Nigel Farage has the answer. It struck me when I saw a board of peanuts behind the bar. I bought one packet to soak up all the gin. But as they removed the peanuts from the board, it revealed a picture of a young lady's shoulder. So I bought another packet, as you would. And that revealed a belly button. Aroused, I bought a further 18 bags of peanuts. Scoffed a lot, and before my eyes was a full body shot of a busty young peanut model. So, to solve childhood obesity, let's swap the peanuts for fruit and veg. Pop a courgette in front of one nipple, a sprout in front of the other. Only works for straight lads, though. No idea about women or gays. Don't know how their minds work.
Nostals, please!
I'll have a welly full of limoncello. I'm going glamping. Next week, we'll be talking about women. Can't live with them. They won't let me.
I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Do you find some films a bit too brutal? Well, we've got the DVD box set for you. Yes, it's Penelope Wilton overdubs scary movies so they just sound really comforting. Everything from Pulp Fiction.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy. I ain't through with you by a downsight. I'm a get medieval on yo ass.
To Train Spotting.
If Begbie got caught with a bag full of skag, he was going down for 15 to 20. Begbie was hard, but not so hard that he didn't shite it off 20 years in the pissing clink.
Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
Here's Johnny.
Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas.
What do you mean I'm funny? Funny how? You mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh, I'm here to f***ing amuse you. Funny how? How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
and on a bonus disc, a Doctor Who special.
Exterminate. Exterminate. Exterminate.
Hello, press office.
Hello, is that the European Parliament office?
No, it's the European Commission office.
Oh, that'll do. Listen, it's Alan Carr. I'm very concerned.
Are you? What are you concerned about?
What's all this about some bloke in Europe wanting to ban powerful Ubers?
Well, what happened is that actually a long time ago all the prime ministers decided that all electrical goods needed to use less electricity. So this is part of that. But it doesn't stop them working. In fact, a lot of them work better.
So what you're telling me is that, you know, you can't sort of, like, move your living room or do the shake and back without a load of MPs and people in Europe sticking their oar in?
No, that's not what I'm telling you at all. What I'm telling you is that what people want are vacuum cleaners that work well, that don't use too much electricity, and they'll still be able to have that.
What are they so scared about? What do they think's going to happen? Do they think the old room is going to get sucked into some powerful Uber like on Tom and Jerry and it's going to cause some chain reaction leading to us all getting spaghettified and sucked into a cataclysmic black hole?
Well, that would be something to fear if it was possible. It's an interesting and amusing vision, but no, that's not going to happen.
I must say, listening to your knowledgeable wisdom, you have put my mind at rest.
OK, great.
So maybe I can visit the European Parliament office and we can do the shake and back together.
We'll look forward to it. Just tell us when and we'll be glad to welcome you with a lovely cup of tea.
In a world filled with violence and conflict, there's one group of superheroes dedicated to making all our lives better. They are the National Treasures. Famed for their courage, their bravery.
Oh, pack it in, trailer man. You'll ruin your throat talking like that. My Auntie Maureen had to leave her job as a bingo caller after her bellowing reawakened her sleeping guitar.
And their whimsical northern anecdotes. Sir Ian McKellen has called Sir Alan, Sir Patrick, and Sir Judy to an emergency meeting of the ruling council.
Right, now, this is the most serious crisis the National Treasures have faced. We have been infiltrated. We must convene in the Star Chamber and discover which of our numbers is the imposter.
State your name.
Could I have an easier question?
All right. David Beckham, state your name.
What was the question again?
He's the real David Beckham, all right. He can go. Next.
State your name.
Dame Maggie Smith.
So, Dame Maggie, how are you enjoying your work for the latest series of Downton Abbey?
Oh, I'm finding the storylines fascinating. Anna's turmoil over whether to have a baby with Mr. Bates is extremely poignant. And what does Lady Anstruther really want from Lord Grantham?
What? No National Treasure would go on ITV and care about the storylines. The only thing I can remember about my time in Coronation Street is the coffee machine and giving Ken Barlow a wedgie.
Let's see who you really are.
This is highly irregular.
Drat! So you've discovered who I am.
Clarkson! You bitch! Caught red-handed.
We have devised a suitable punishment for infiltrating us. Behold.
Oh, no. No, anything but that. Please, have mercy on me, please.
No, I am going to give you a lift home in my Toyota Prius, which, believe you me, has a caravan on the back.
Hello, I'm Sue McGregor. The way clean knickers would sound if they could talk. This edition of The Reunion brings together a hugely influential group who achieved worldwide success but who haven't seen each other for nearly 2,000 years. It's the Apostles. Joining me are three members of the original lineup: St. Peter, who went on to be Pope.
The first ever Pope, actually, Sue.
St. Thomas, who went on to baptise thousands and found a Christian church.
Yeah, hiya.
And Judas Iscariot, best known as the betrayer of Jesus Christ.
Yes, hello, I did a lot of other things apart from betraying. Well,
Judas!
Yes?
No, I was calling you a Judas.
Oh, I see. Yeah, good.
I was planning to come on to this later in the show, but Judas, betraying Jesus into crucifixion, any regrets?
Look. Look, I do one bit of betraying and I'm labelled for life. It's the same with Eve. Great wife and mother, excellent cook, but all anyone talks about is the apple. And people forget that in those days, 30 pieces of silver was a lot of money.
So you did do it for the money. You're not even denying it.
No, I leave denying things to you, Peter.
Oh, no, that's a cheap shot.
Oh, what is that noise, Peter? Is it the cock crowing?
You're the cock, Judas.
Oh, this from a man who is now basically a glorified security guard.
My job at the Pearly Gates is extremely important, actually. Not that you'll ever see me in action.
Believe me, being chewed for eternity in the mouth of Satan is infinitely preferable to the sight of you strutting about, swinging your big key. Bit Freudian, isn't it?
Look, I'm sorry, sir. I know this is meant to be a civilised and reflective programme, but it seems to have descended into a slanging match.
No, really, that's basically what we hope will happen every week. Thank you all for joining me. Next time, the Wacky Races.
You're listening to Today. Later, I'll be reading out something someone said on Twitter, just to annoy John Humphreys. But first, something else appalling has happened in the world to go with all the other appalling things. The Prime Minister joins me now.
Good morning.
Mr. Cameron, this appalling thing really is appalling, isn't it?
Well, Evan, it's just appalling, and that's all there is to it.
And as the thing is so very appalling, I also have Ed Miliband on the line.
Well, Evan, I go up and down the country, and everybody I talk to on the doorstep thinks this thing is not only appalling, but also shocking. Just saying appalling isn't good enough. I want to say to you that if I were in power, I would have said that the thing is both appalling and shocking.
Mr. Cameron?
Well, look, I take no lessons in being shocked and appalled from Mr. Miliband. The fact that he's trying to make political capital of this shocking and appalling thing is shocking and appalling.
I'm now joined by Mr. Nigel Farage.
Does anyone want a peanut?
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Colshaw, Jan Ravens, Lewis MacLeod and Duncan Wisby. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Dan Aldrit, James Bugs, Sarah Campbell, John Colshaw and Lawrence Howarth. It was produced and created by Bill Dare.